Dr. Bob Kimmerate from University of Georgia is going to visit with us about target leaf spot and bacterial blight in cotton. This was a very hot button and heavily discussed topic this summer across the Mid-South and the United States. So looking forward to hearing what you have to tell us.
My hero today is Sergeant Joe Friday. What Sergeant Joe Friday say? Just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. I cannot possibly get through this in 15 minutes, and so I'm going to tell you right now that I may not. But the first thing I want to tell you is this. I am extremely grateful to be here. I've been at the University of Georgia almost 17 years, and I have never had a more unpleasant experience with groups like this, than with bacterial blight and my colleagues in the Mid-South with target spot. It has been extremely contentious, but I want to thank you for inviting me. I want to say that the consultants, extension, and industry and the growers are all in this together, and at the end of the day, we may bloody each other up, but it's time to get back and let's figure out what we can do. Okay? Second thing I want to say, if I don't get through and you don't listen to anything else or hear what I say, here's what I want you to remember about target spot. Okay? If you have target spot or you believe that if you have any remote chance of target spot and your first decision is to reach for a fungicide and spray the fungicide on the crop, you may be making a big mistake. If you are not considering when the target spot appears, right, Dr. Nichols? When it appears, what variety you are planting, when it is in the season, you may or may not benefit. But if you also completely believe that you do not need to consider a fungicide, if you're convinced that target spot does not cost yield, if 200 pounds of lint does not matter to you, then you may be making a mistake by not considering the use of a fungicide. Next thing is bacterial blight. And it's been very difficult for us in Georgia this year, as well as been from other things. I'm going to tell you this right now. I recognize as much as anybody that the disease can be seed transmitted. I recognize that. We know that. But I would say for consultants and growers going into 2017, and Jack, for Georgia growers, I mean this assuredly, we need to focus on the variety selection, we need to focus on residue management, and we need to be prepared for that. We need to be prepared. I can also say this, that if you are a grower who has absolutely zero tolerance for the risk that bacterial blight provides or causes you, then you need to look for the most resistant variety. But in doing that, there are things that you may give up. We have no nematode-resistant varieties that also have bacterial blight resistance. And where I come from, nematode resistance is critical in areas where the bacterial blight has not been. Okay? We have got to consider not only bacterial blight resistance, but we've got to consider also the resistance in other potential, the yield potential and varieties. Okay? But variety and residue management are extremely critical. Okay? As we move into the 2017 season, both of these diseases will be important. Both can be managed, but both be done appropriately. Okay? What's the cost of a leaf? What's the value of a leaf? I don't have time to go into this very much, but the value of a leaf is to feed that subtending bull. It takes a while for them to reach maximum productivity. And once they get older, if we lose some leaves, it doesn't matter that much. But managing leaf, minimizing defoliation, especially during critical parts of the season, is absolutely essential to yield. The problem with bacterial blight, we all know, is it doesn't just stop at the leaves and defoliations. There's other phases, there's bull rots. And we're learning more and more with target spot that it may have more of an impact on yield retention or bull retention than we've thought in the past. Foliar diseases of cotton, there are many. The first one I want to talk about is target spot. Until 1961, or as recently as 1961 in Mississippi, that's the first time it was reported. It was not reported again until we found it in Georgia about 2007, 2008. Where was it in that amount of time? We don't know. But we do know this is the pathogen, Corynes percassiacula. You don't have to remember that. But just know that the same pathogen is found on other crops. It's found on soybean. It's found on tomatoes. It's found on cucumbers. It's found on hydrangea in your grandmother's yard. The same genus and species. But there's been some information generated out of the University of Georgia in cooperation with Cotton Incorporated. And if you look at the yellow up in the top corner, that is their cotton isolates, not just from Georgia, but their cotton isolates from the southeast. And what's important in that is they are all together. They are nested together. And what we have found so far is that the Corynespora that's causing target spot on cotton is unique to cotton. What's on soybean is not the same as on cotton. What's on cucumber is not the same as on cotton. And that's important for two reasons. The first reason is it suggests that it is a single introduction. Where it was between 1961 and 2008, I can't tell you, but it's here now. First thing is, likely a single introduction. The second thing is, it should come as no surprise to anybody in this room that we find it first in the Gulf Coast states or in Georgia, the panhandle of Florida, but that we're seeing it expanding now because that's what it would do if it was an isolated introduction. And what does that mean to you? We can continue to see it become of greater importance. Okay? What are the symptoms? One thing consultants should be aware of is if you're going to treat it, if you're going to fight it, if you're going to be worried about it, you need to know what it looks like. And it can be very difficult to diagnose in the field because a lot of diseases look the same. But you can see the spots that develop. Okay? They start out as pinpoints. It can be very hard to diagnose. Once they reach that large target-shaped spot that leads to rapid defoliation, by that time the disease has already started. Okay? But they start out smaller. There are other diseases that can look similar. It's important to know. If we're even considering use of a fungicide and we make a mistake and treat Stemphylium or Alternaria leaf spot, there's no chance for success. We have to know what we're treating. Okay? This is what the disease can do. This is what the disease can do. This is one of Austin Hagen's slides out of Alabama. It looks just the same in Georgia. The third week of bloom, we're finding a few spots. 6 weeks later, we can have 90% defoliation. Okay? The disease, under the right conditions, with the right varieties, can cause significant loss in defoliation very, very quickly. Okay? These are some new symptoms. I'm continually learning. This is something I didn't even recognize until consultants like yourselves said, you're missing this. Okay? We've been focusing on, at least I have, on those large target-shaped lesions. But when we look at the top of the plant, when we look at the calyx, when we look at the bowls, they're covered with smaller spots that never develop. But I believe that they are having more importance than we thought. When the question arises, have you seen bowl loss associated, bowl drop? Not so much, but when we start to look at this symptom, especially on some of those young squares and some of the young bowls, there may be more to it than we had thought. Okay. One of the things I ask any agent or consultant or grower to consider is, where are you located? Okay. This is not to minimize the impact in Arkansas or Virginia or in Louisiana, but it has traditionally been those Gulf states, the steep southeast, Alabama, Florida, Georgia, where we've had the highest risk. And as we move further away from that, the risk decreases. Why is that important? It's simply to say that before you reach for a fungicide outside those hottest areas, recognize that a little bit of target spot is not going to be the end and necessitate a fungicide necessarily. But what we are seeing is those areas are encroaching and expanding as we see the disease move. So the irrigation, rainfall patterns, high nitrogen, canopy closure, cotton variety, all of those factors can be associated as well as increasing your risk. Your location, are you irrigated or not? What are the weather patterns? It's extremely dry, don't have much of a problem. Or where we have early canopy closure, can be. Okay? Target spot, it's a disease of high yield cotton. Good growing conditions, high fertility. We need a long leaf wetness period for this to happen. Rain-fed cotton or dryland cotton is less vulnerable. Tropical storms are important not only because they bring moisture in, but because they can also move the pathogen as well. Okay? I put together this for Georgia. We're still working on, but again, it takes those factors in. What I feel is the location, where your field is located, is most important. Rank excessive growth increases your risk, a history in the field. Why? Because the pathogen can overwinter, can survive in crop debris. Irrigation, wet weather. If we have dry weather, we typically don't see as much of a problem. Whereas in wet weather, we tend to see more. Reduced tillage. Again, why? If we see more of the debris, surviving the debris. When we get to bacterial blight, that same concern over conservation tillage, over residue management, plays the same thing because it can harbor, it can serve as a bridge between the target spot pathogen and also the bacterial blight. Cotton variety. In the southeast, you can name one single variety and say, that's the one that's going to get target spot. Okay? But that would be a mistake. It would be a mistake to assume that we're only going to get target spot if we plant one or two varieties. All cotton varieties are susceptible. They're susceptible. The work we're doing now with the Cotton Incorporated is showing that there's differences in susceptibility. But we need to be aware that if you're growing cotton And an environment that's conducive for target spot, the potential is there. And managing target spot, we're looking at the variety selection, but also fungicides. We have a number of fungicides that are labeled now. Okay? The ones that you see on this slide are labeled for use on cotton for the management of target spot. And any one of them can be effective when used appropriately. So far, our greatest benefits have been using Preaxor and Headline Chemistries. We've also used Quadris effectively as well. Okay? Unfortunately, Tebuconazole, which is inexpensive, can be used, has not been effective. Some of Austin's data again, Austin Hagen, we are looking at a two-year average, the final target spot defoliation on six cotton varieties. On your far left, the Phytogen 499, yes, Phytogen 499 had the greatest incidence of or defoliation from target spot, but you can see that the other varieties did as well. It's not just a 499 issue, it's a cotton issue. When we look at yield, and we look at the use of fungicides, the control which was not sprayed, where fungicide was used, and you can look at the varieties across, it's not just 499. It's cotton in general, which is susceptible, and we can see a benefit in using fungicides when we have the appropriate conditions, the appropriate location, and the disease is present early enough in the season. Timing of application, and this is critical. If a grower has hired a consultant, if you are a consultant working in cotton, one of the most important things you can do for this disease is to be aware of when the disease appears. If it's later in the season, it doesn't matter. But if it appears by the third week of bloom or earlier, that's the time we see the most benefit. If you're not scouting, our timing is the first week of bloom and the third week of bloom. New symptoms, these are the ones we're seeing. We can see in a trial last year, we can see a single application, two applications, three applications are untreated. Cut to the chase, you can see that this is the amount of money over the cost of the fungicide with the increase in cotton we made having those extreme symptoms where we made money with fungicide applications. Okay? The important thing is, what can we expect with target spot? When we use a fungicide appropriately, up to 200 pounds. In many regional trials, we do not see a benefit to a fungicide application. But when we have the right variety, the right environment, the right location, we need to consider that application. High-risk growers in the southeast can expect similar ones. For growers in the mid-south and elsewhere, I ask you to talk with your consultants, talk with your county agents, talk with your extension specialists. Okay? Let's talk bacterial blight very quickly. Okay? These symptoms, 1454, 2015, we had not seen this in Georgia for a long time. When we did see it in Georgia, 1454, which we planted for root knot nematode resistance, we didn't plant it again in 2016, and we thought the problem was solved. We thought that the problem was not going to be there again, but we saw it last year even more widespread. We expect yield losses in some fields from 2015 were 100 to 200 pounds per acre. Not sure what the losses were last year. Our crop consultants, rightfully so, were the most vocal. You can see the foliar symptoms that we see with the bacterial blight, the bowl symptoms as well. The problem with bacterial blight is it doesn't just stop at the leaves, it affects the bowls as well. And then as it progresses, a lot of times we will see that a fungal pathogen can overtake it, making it difficult to diagnose. And one of the problems, just like with target spot, when we talk about bacterial blight, simply having bowl rot in a field does not equate to bacterial blight. It can be very, very difficult. Looking at this symptom, as it progresses, is this caused by the fungus or the bacteria, or are they both present? It's critically important. Xanthomonas citrii is the pathogen that's about subspecies Malvaciarum. At this point, our main concern in the southeast where we've seen it is not how did it get there anymore, but what are we going to do about it now that it's in the field? Okay? Here's what our producers' questions are. How serious is the disease going to get? A lot of that depends upon how susceptible your variety is, how much residue management, and what the weather conditions are. How do we manage the disease? And this last one in red, this was the question asked for 2 years. Where did it come from and why is it there now? My message to our growers is we can answer that, we can try to answer that, but we need to look forward as far as what we're going to do about that. Okay? The pathogen can be seed-borne, but the pathogen also survives in crop residue. Cotton residue that's on the surface for 217 days, the pathogen has been shown to survive in that. It can easily bridge the period of time. But once that cotton debris is buried or once we have bare soil, typically it won't bridge that period of time between the disease, between cropping seasons. Water, can wind-driven rain can spread it as well as equipment and tools. Okay? Last important slide I have is this. When we talk about bacterial blight, what are most important considerations? The first thing is variety selection. We have to look at the variety. We have to also consider the risk for the bacterial blight situation to other factors as well, be it nematode resistance or yield potential. The other thing is going to be residue management. I'm in no way saying we get away from conservation tillage or reduced tillage, but as we move forward in bacterial blight management, variety selection, residue management is about all we can do. Okay? We'll stop with this slide as I run out of time. And this is what the growers and consultants in Georgia told me, and you can agree or disagree. Here's what they told me as we entered the battle with bacterial blight. The first thing is what they expect from me. You expect the best information you get on managing the disease. We don't have to be perfect, but you expect the best. You also expect that we're going to continue to have increased funding to understand the race shift that may have occurred in bacterial blight and also the management opportunities. You expect the companies are transparent in how this management of the bacterial blight occurs and the lending process and also screening for infested fields. With that, I'm going to stop. I appreciate this opportunity. And I'll be around if anybody's got questions for me. Thanks.
Certainly appreciate it.